وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Dear beloved brothers, fear the Almighty Lord. Dear beloved sisters, fear the Almighty Lord and be conscious of His watching. Be conscious of His watching. Today, there is no reckoning, no retribution. There is no judgment, no accountability. But there is a chance for you all to perform as many good deeds as possible. To perform as many good deeds as possible. But this indeed will come to an end. Tomorrow, it will come to an end. And tomorrow, there will be judgment. There will be retribution. There will be a reckoning and accountability, but there will be no more chance to perform any good deeds. But man continues to play, to waste time, to live in jest and mockery until the inevitable befalls him. Until death befalls him, and then and only then he wakes up from his deep sleep. Dear beloved, Soon your soul will reach your throat. Your soul will reach your throat. And your legs will become twisted around each other. And then you shall depart from your mother and your father, your brother and your sister, your son and your daughter, your uncle and your auntie, your husband and your wife, your relatives, your cousins, your friends, your loved ones. They shall wash you, shroud you, pray funeral prayer over you, and then carry you on their shoulders into that hole, and leave you all alone in that ground, nothing but the darkness of the grave, where you shall await the three most important questions you shall ever be asked, and thus your destination will be known. Do not take the matters of the deen lightly. Do not take Islam lightly. It is heavy. It is important. Do not abandon prayers. Sleep beyond its stated time. Delay it beyond its stated time. Do not be heedless of the hereafter. Do not disobey your parents. Do not spread rumors, fairy tales, lies, backbiting. Do not cause defamation. Telling lies about your brothers and sisters. Defaming them, oppressing them, hurting them. Today you got a chance to work. But it is only today. And then tomorrow you will have no chance to work. In the glorious book of the Almighty Lord, Allah Ta'ala clearly states that men and women who practice the principles of Islam, men and women, will receive equal reward. Will receive equal reward. Not because you are a man, you're more superior than a lady. Not because you're a lady, you're more superior than a man. No. You both practice the Sharia of Allah Ta'ala, and you will both receive reward accordingly. Let us listen to what the Almighty Lord says in Surah Al-Ahzab. فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
The Muslims, men and women, the believers, men and women, men and women who are obedient to Allah, men and women who are truthful, men and women who are patient, men and women who are humble, men and women who give sadaqah, men and women who fast, men and women who preserve, who guard their chastity, men and women who remember Allah Ta'ala much, both by tongue and by heart. Indeed, we have prepared for those two, men and women, forgiveness and a great reward. As you can see, men and women in every aspect. And he says, the Almighty Lord, فَتَفَضَّلْ
مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
And whosoever performs righteousness, whether men, whether man or woman, while he or she is a true believer, then we indeed shall give them a good life in this world. And we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion in accordance to that which they used to do. And you can see the Almighty Lord here did not say that a man is better than a lady, nor did he say that a woman is better than a man in the acts of worship. It is as important for women as for men, and there is no differentiation in reward. The right, for example, to learn, to seek knowledge, to become a learned person, it is as important for women as for men, as mentioned in a narration collected by Al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Seeking knowledge is mandatory, is compulsory upon every single Muslim, man or woman. Likewise, in Islam, you know, you get many critics out there that say a lady is forced into marriage. They say that us Muslims force our women, our daughters, or our responsibility into marrying someone she does not want. Absurd. Ludicrous. Maybe they do, but we do not. Maybe they do, but we do not. Islam disallows this. Islam does not allow a marriage contract to bind, to be accepted, while that poor servant, female servant, rejects this person. Without her consent, there is no marital contract binding. Please, sisters, we are listening to a lesson. So let us, inshallah, listen. If you do not want to listen, do not be here. So as we can see, that we do not get forced, or nor do we force any woman to be a partner or a spouse or a wife to any man. And there's a narration to confirm this in Ibn Hanbal's collection from Abdullah ibn Abbas. A girl came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reported to him that she was forced into marrying someone. So when he heard this, he said to her, you have a choice, either to accept this marriage or to invalidate, to nullify this marriage. In another narration, it's mentioned that she said, I actually accepted the marriage, but I wanted to let the other woman know that your parents are unable to force you into marriage. So we are not a people who force any female into a marriage she does not want. Even if she is forced, she is allowed to break that marriage. Likewise, in Islam, a lady has her rights to her money, her real estate, her inheritance, her properties. She retains the full rights to buy, sell any or all of her properties. And this right undergoes no change whether she is single whether she is married. And if she is single and she's got this wealth, these assets, and then she gets married, it does not transfer to her husband at all. None of that money is allowed for her husband to come and snatch, to take. It retains her belonging. It is hers and not his. He is not allowed to touch that money unless she willingly gives him that money. As her maiden name remains the same, her money remains hers. Likewise, her wealth, she's not obliged under any circumstance unless she willingly again accepts to support her family, to provide food, drink, rent, paying the bills, whether it's a telephone bill, electricity bill, or any other bill. The man is fully under obligation to pay all this and not her. She may have $1 million stacked away, and he may have $1,000. It is still his obligation, not hers. You know, you get many people today that when they see their wives got a lot of money, and they've got enough to pay, but they know that their wife got more than them. So they're trying to manipulate his wife. Ah, the bill came today beyond, it's a phenomenal bill. It's beyond recognition. It's too much for me to bear. The rent's coming up, and he mentions this and that, and he makes a mountain of reasons in order for her to feel sorry for him. Now, you are not allowed to manipulate your wife in any way in order to take her wealth. Now, if she gives it to you willingly, Allah yahfaza, Allah barik fiya, tfadli, atidya kullu. Not a problem. But do not try to steal it or manipulate her in order to give her to give it to you. And you'll be judged. Nowhere in Islam does it suggest that a woman is a minor simply because she is a female. Nowhere in Islam. So those that claim that we are oppressors, abusers, accusers, suppressors, they are false. Our women are more liberated than them any day. More rights than they have any day. We love and respect a woman, an Islamic person says, more than they will ever will. In Islam, we understand something very important. That the best of us is not the best among men, the most pious of us. She or he is the best of us. Faddal ya Mustafa.
يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير.
O mankind, indeed we have created you from a male and a female, and we have made you into tribes and clans. Why? In order that you get to know one another. Indeed, the most honorable, the best of you, in the sight of the Almighty Lord, is the one that has more taqwa. More taqwa. Indeed, Allah is all wise, all aware. You can see the best of us. Who is the best of us? The one that has more taqwa. She could be a lady. He could be a man. So what we should reflect upon is to achieve the best of taqwa. Dear sister, the mother, the daughter, we call you Red Rose of Islam. You are not only liberated, respected, dignified in Islam, but you are also a great member, a member of the great nation of Islam. The greatest nation produced for mankind. No other nation produced women like the nation of Islam. A nation of guidance, leading humanity to righteousness and truth. Transforming man from the worship of slaves to the worship of the Lord of slaves. Your ancestors, the female companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, great woman of Islam. They are one of the main reasons for this great nation to find its great place among all nations. They were the counterparts of their men, courageous, strong, thoughtful, and they were willing to sacrifice anything and everything in the path of truth. These selfless, noble female creatures were found on the battlefields. Not on the back of the battle, not in the middle, but wallahi in the foremost ranks of the battlefield. In the foremost ranks. And there are many examples of such zeal and determination. In the Battle of Uhud, when only a few devoted fighters remained, because it was getting too critical, too scary, too fierce. So a lot of companions withdrew from the field. Only a few remained in the intense fighting. A lady, a female companion by the name of Ammara, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, she shielded Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not with her shield, not with her sword, but with her flesh. This is a lady, female companion. She shielded her beloved teacher sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her flesh and warded off the enemy with her sword. Invariably, we cannot even carry that sword today. She held it strongly and warded them off, kept them away from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Just a female companion. A female. We call them inferior? A'udhu billah. They put us to shame. Wallahi, they put us to shame today if you listen to the history of those female companions. In the battle against Musaylamah al-Kadhab, she fought so courageously that she lost an arm and suffered more than a dozen wounds to the body. A female. And killed many, many of the enemies. Khawla, Juwayriya, Safiya, Asma, Aisha, Hakim, and wallahi, all displayed extraordinary valor when they accompanied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his military expeditions. Many of them, female companions, were memorizers of the Quran. How many do we memorize? How much have we memorized? We think we're big shots when we memorize half of Juz' Ammah. Ayna 15 surah, any surah has about 2 verses. Ayna 16 surah. You know, you try to sort of, be boastful about it. Many of the female companions not memorized only Juz' Ammah, they memorized the whole of the Quran. Hafsa bint Umar, Aisha bint Abi Bakr, Salama, Waraka, Hisham, Hind bint Usaid, and many more female companions memorized the whole Quran. As for Aisha and Salama, they were exceptional masters of interpretation and commentary of the Quran. In the Islamic jurisprudence, Aisha's verdicts, her verdicts, could fill several volumes. And she was so well versed in the Islamic inheritance that the most renowned and respected companions, male companions, will come and ask her and consult her and seek advice and counsel from her in the finer points of Sharia. In the finer points. She wasn't a male, she was a female. a learned, courageous, thoughtful, strong lady of Islam. An example from the time she lived to the last second of this earth. And there are many examples of many female Muslims, past and present, that fulfill their obligations towards their Lord. You know, when you see some girls today, I'm talking about our girls, our daughters, you see on their wall when you go to their homes, actresses and athletes. Actresses and athletes who are nothing but druggos in reality. And they're on their wall, pinned on their wall. Sisters, brothers, let your daughter, let your wife, let your mother, let your sister pin up posters, not on the wall, on their hearts, of Aisha, of Umara, of Safiya, of Salama, Maraka, and their likes, on their hearts. Meaning, let their lives be their role models. Let it penetrate through their souls and be engraved on their souls. This is the way we should be teaching our sisters. Stories of such people. Allahu Akbar. They're not males, they're females. Out there again, there are the critics. There are people who claim, who say, who fabricate that a Muslim woman is degenerated, disparaged, is abused and accused, oppressed and suppressed, is looked down at, downtrodden, is even considered by the Muslim man as an evil person. A'udhu billah. A woman has received so much attention in Islam that the Almighty Lord revealed a whole surah in the glorious word of His called Surah An-Nisa. I don't see anywhere else Surah Al-Rijal. There's no Surah Al-Rijal in the Quran, but there's Surah An-Nisa. Allahu Akbar. The chapter of woman, specifically relating to her law, her rights, her principles. In Islam, a woman is a mother, a daughter, a wife, a sister that has rights to take and duties to serve. This is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the nation of his to take extreme good care of women and to respect her highly. I don't see anywhere where he says to man, respect the man, but respect the woman and take good care of her. Why? Because she is the source of happiness for her husband. And she is a soft, tender, loving mother to her children. This is the reason why the Almighty Lord ordered her, not out of oppression, but out of protection and safety, ordered her to cover herself and thus remain as much as possible in her house. As he says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بِيُوتِكُمْ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And remain in your homes, your protected places, your safeguarded places, your security, and do not display yourself like that of the times of jahiliyyah, of ignorance. What does the tabarruj mean? It means, do not display your charm. Do not display your body features. Do not move your body or walk in a show-off way. Do not talk in a soft way in order to entice or tempt man. Tabarruj means every form of beautification displayed by a woman in order to look good to strangers, other than her maharim, in other words. To look good to other than her maharim. That is tabarruj. The question here comes, if she wants to leave her house, Can she leave her house? Yes, she can leave her house. But how should she leave her house? You know, Allah Ta'ala is ordering us here, the female servant of his, to remain indoors. And if you leave, do not display yourself like that of the times of ignorance. So what should she do? You know, when we wake up in the morning today, what do we do? When one of us wakes up, male or female? But females are known that they, you know, if you want to go somewhere, you at least tell them half an hour before you go. At least half an hour. Because they need half an hour to get dressed, if not more, and then they're half an hour on the door talking. So make sure you tell them half an hour before this needs to be done. This is the exiting of the home. So as soon as we wake up today, what do we do? What's the first thing we do? Generally, before the cup of coffee, before watching, reading the newspaper, watching the 6 o'clock news, what do? We go to the cupboard and sometimes take as long as 1 hour to decide what are we going to wear today. What are we going to wear today? You start scratching your hair, don't know what you're going to wear. You look. Make it easy for yourself. Have one abaya, for example, for the men. And have one type of clothes for the ladies. You can never go wrong. But when we open the cupboard, you think of your employer. What is he going to say? What is she going to say? How is he going to react? Is she going to react if we wore this? You think of your friends, your colleagues. You think of your mother and your father. You think of this. You think of that. You think of everyone on the face of this earth, what he or she will react to if we wore this attire. But forgetting the greatest authority. Forgetting the greatest authority. The Almighty. All aware, all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Before we decide what we are going to wear, stop. A big red sign, stop. Look at the sign and say, what pleases the Master of Masters, the Judge of Judges, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, our fashioner, our designer, our originator, our creator? What pleases him? Not what pleases our employer, our teacher, our colleague, our friend. What pleases him, the Almighty Lord. So you open that cupboard. You have a big sign on the inside of the door. What pleases you, O Lord? That way you have no confusion of thinking of this and that. You got only one, the Almighty Lord before your very eyes and no one else. Next time we go shopping, for example. Again, the same issue again. Do we go to Satan's work? Do we go to Satan's work? We'll get the latest fashion designs or designers or the fashion books. Do we go to Clio or the TV Day or whatever other garbage there is out there? Or do we go to the most pure, authentic, genuine book on the face of this earth? We open this book, we sit down with sincerity, with acceptance, with love, devotion, motivation, dedication to no one but what is in this book. And you let Allah Ta'ala communicate your attire, what you should be wearing. And then you grasp, you cling with full love and acceptance. Because you are a believer. This is not a normal book. It's not any book here. It's the word of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala in here has actually given you the criteria between right and wrong. You want answers? This is the answers. Here. You don't get Cleo to look for the answers of what you wear. The answer is here for you. So you open this book with full sincerity, with full love and acceptance, and see what Allah Ta'ala has to say about what you should wear. Beloved, what you wear speaks volumes about yourself. It speaks volumes about yourself. This is why a complete stranger can surmise your age, your gender, your ethnicity, your vocation, education, economical status, even your character and personality based on what you wear. You know, if you go to Newtown, for example, and you see those punks, do you know who he is? What he is? Immediately. This is not our business, but I'm just letting you know an example. When you see him, you know who he is, what he is, and what his life is all about. And then when you see, for example, a person, tabarakallah, for taqiyya, of a habaya, beautiful beard, a lady next to him with a hijab, covered, both eyes down, not gazing left, right, and whatever, you can tell immediately who these people are. So when you walk out of that door in the morning, or any afternoon, or any time, you want people to see that you're a peaceful, affectionate, a loving, caring Muslim. A peaceful Muslim, because Muslims are not terrorists. They're not terrorists. SubhanAllah, it reminds me of a sister saying that she said, when I leave my home, she's fully veiled with the correct veil, I get all these strange looks, glances and stares. I often wonder to myself if people are looking at me as if I'm a radical, fanatical, fundamentalist Muslim terrorist packing an AK-47 assault rifle in my hijab. Here's a statement. So I get all these strange looks, all these glances. Because I wear a hijab, she said. A thing that covers my head, chest and neck. And I do it because I'm a Muslimah, she says. Because I'm a Muslimah. And obviously if she's a Muslimah, she's abiding by what a Muslimah has to abide by. The criteria which is in the Quran. And I do it because I love Allah. Because I love Allah. And He will protect me wherever I go. This is her statement. SubhanAllah, what reliance and trust, what stability and firmness and steadfastness. And He will protect me wherever I go. Meaning, if it's ordained for me, it's going to happen regardless. But He's my security. He's my bodyguard, in other words. He takes care of me, no one else. They're going to laugh, mock, jest, who cares? I have to wear this because Allah loves it and I love Allah. And this is the way I'm going to be. Then she says, to continue the actual paragraph, she says, and I believe this is my body. This is my body, my own private business. And then she says, so keep your lustful eyes away from me. Because she's wearing the hijab for what reason? For what reason? Not for stares and whistles and adoration, no. She wears it so she can tell you, oh male, I am a covered person for a reason. So you do not look at me. I belong to one and not only one. To my husband and no one else. My beauty is for him and no one else. You can see this obedient servant. SubhanAllah, you don't want to meet her in a dark alley, would you? Person like that, tabarakallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, if there were sisters like that, you know, for all the husbands, Allah, for the men, Allahu Akbar. It reminds you of Abu Ammara, tabarakallah, and Safiya and her likes. And there are many out there, wallahi, there are many out there. Yet this believing servant of the Almighty Allah did not discard hijab simply on the fear that she will stand out in the crowd. Because she knows that she's supposed to look different from the non-Muslims. And she knows their type of fashion, the non-Muslims, is not to cover as much as possible, but to uncover as much as possible. She also seeks refuge in Allah Ta'ala from those female modern Muslims, I repeat, female modern Muslims, who have belittled the orders of Allah Ta'ala by insinuating hijab. Meaning, they say, to be a businesswoman today, and to be a businesswoman today, or a teacher, or a professor, in this computerized high-tech world, tabarakallah, you must remove the hijab so your intellect can burst through. So it can explode, in other words. That's their statements. That is their statements. Wallahi, not mine. I'm quoting this. Wallahi, you feel sorry for these people. Nothing but poor, innocent, feeble, ignorant-minded souls that need to sit down and relearn Islam. And then grasp it. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. May Allah forgive us and forgive them. May Allah have guidance upon us and guide them, inshallah ta'ala. But this is the work of no other than the loyalist of Satan. This is the work of the loyalist of Satan, who want to lead her astray and lead you, O man, astray by inducing into her sweet Islamic fresh blood that she in hijab is captivated. Claustrophobic. It's too tight, too restrictive. You are living in the 21st century, not in the 14th century. That was then, not now. We are in a world of technology, they say. Computerized, high-tech world. Obviously, they're in a world where the devil has captivated them and manipulated them, and they have accepted him. A lady in hijab, dear beloved, is not captivation. It is no other than liberation from what? From the shackles of male scrutiny. From the shackles of male scrutiny. From the chains of male scrutiny. From captivation of male scrutiny. That is what hijab is. The beauty that Allah Ta'ala gave you, O believing servant of the Almighty Lord, is not meant to be shown to the entire world. You do not need your beauty, your charms, to gain recognition or acceptance in society or to raise your self-esteem. You are in Islam, O Muslim believing servant, like a precious jewel, immune from being portrayed as a sex symbol and lusted after. So be deceived not from the media, TV, deceiving magazines, jewelry stores and their likes. But walillahi alhamd, despite all the incessant propaganda about the woman oppression by Islam, more Western women today, walillahi alhamd, more Western women today are entering Islam more than ever. And they have come through their personal experience and observation that Islam, hijab, is indeed the true liberation for all humanity, that brings peace to the mind, contentment to the heart, and dignity, most importantly, dignity to life. These ladies have come to the realization that a lady that wears hijab is in fact, and listen to this carefully, is in fact, and she is indeed, making an identity, making a statement about the way she looks, that she's an obedient servant of Allah with good moral character, modest, chaste, a pure woman who does not want her sexuality in any way, to enter into interactions with men, not even in the smallest degree. They have come to the realization that a lady exiting her home, exits as a self-confident part of human race, not as a fashion plate seeking whistles and stares and adoration, looks and glasses, which the majority do today in order to raise their self-esteem. Nor is she for the beholder to leer upon and to use in advertisements selling everything from beer to cars. She's not a merchandise. She's not a commodity. She's a human being that has to be respected and dignified. Look at today. Look at the world of advertisement. Whatever you do, wherever you go, all you see is merchandise and always a lady naked next to her. Why? She's become a merchandise herself. And they call this liberation? They have made her inferior. That's not liberation. That is oppression. That is captivation. They're using this lady, his poor servant. These Western ladies who have embraced Islam know that hijab reflects obedience to Allah Ta'ala, and know this, sister in Islam, you wear your hijab and wallahi, you wear it out of sincerity, you will indeed achieve, get a great reward from Allah Ta'ala. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient, for indeed Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sees every move you make. And He will reward you, wallahi, for every second that you put that hijab on. They have come to the realization that hijab reflects innocence, serenity, purity, contentment, shyness, modesty. Allah raises your dignity for hijab. Because when people see you, they respect you. Because they see that you respect yourself. And how many times have I walked with my wife and non-Muslim men, when they see you, for example, buying something, they talk to you in a beautiful manner and ask you, why is this dressed like this? And they respect you. They speak with ethics and morals. Because they see, and you say, how do I look at this person? Why is he dressed like this for? Why is she dressed like that for? And they want to know. And they want to know. Or people in the street, they take one look at you, they turn their face away. That's respect. That's the reality of the matter. Allah raises your dignity. Because you respect yourself, they'll respect you. Hijab reflects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He defines your role as a Muslim woman. That you are a person who carries an important duty, role, with very imperative responsibilities, representing Islam. You are a walking da'wah tool, you can say. A walking da'wah tool. Sophisticated, intelligent, obedient, and most important, you are recognized as a Muslim in hijab. Now, when you got no hijab, are you recognized as a Muslim? They don't know what you are. You don't know what you are. But when a lady wears hijab, she's defined immediately who she is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses your independence. You are not a slave to your husband or to your father or to your brother or uncle, nor to a nation, nor to any other people. You are a slave to no other than the greatest master, Allah. Through hijab, the Almighty Lord wants your beauty to be reserved, preserved, for only one man. That is your husband. And this indeed will increase his love towards you. He will cherish you more. He will honor you, respect you more. And wallahi, this will indeed contribute in a strong and lasting marriage. You know, when a man sees his wife dressed up and no one looks at her, he feels more inclined to her. But when she's not dressed up and every person looks at her, he feels weak towards her. It's not her, it's not his fully no more. It's not his wife no more. She's shared. She's shared between him and others. So, naturally, a man wants his wife to himself, hamakallah. Not to the rest of the world. Not to the rest of the world for man to see. Otherwise, he's considered a what? A cuckold. A dayuf. And that is the absolute best term for it. Nasrallah al-afya. Lastly, inshaAllah ta'ala, we say, hijab, dear beloved sisters, dear beloved brothers, reflects upon this person. For indeed, a woman in Islam is dignified, not dishonored. She is noble, not degraded. She is liberated, not subjugated. She is purified, independent, and not a slave to accept Allah Ta'ala. She is protected and not exposed. She is respected and not laughed at. She is confident and not insecure. She is obedient and not a sinner. And most importantly, she is a precious jewel, a red rose of Islam. أقول ما تسمعون وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن.